Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we read in Psalm 19, verse 14, the verse says there, "May these words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." We pray, Lord, that you will speak to our souls this day. Teach us, lead us, feed us, and in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. So as I've said already, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. It's a Sunday where we honor Jesus as King of our lives and King of the world. And we see in our gospel reading today this kingship being sort of told about it in an allegory or a parable that Jesus is telling. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Interesting facts maybe around this that we can consider. Jesus is sitting on the throne and he is there doing the judging. And it's Jesus as opposed to God or as opposed to the Holy Spirit. His judgment is Jesus' calling as part of his ministry in total. But to take note again as well, gathered before him will be everybody in the world. We assume living and dead, but we just, everybody is what the intention is here. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. So I'm not a farmer by a long shot, I don't know how sheep and goats get along very well, but I know they can be put together in some cases in a flock. The best I could read about was goats kind of eat different stuff than sheep tend to. They do also eat similar things, but goats need a lot of extra minerals and nutrition, and copper in particular. And it's surmised that certainly in the Middle East, one of the reasons they may have put goats with the sheep was so that the goats would eat up all those particular minerals because they're not good for sheep. Too much copper in sheep's diet can actually kill them. So mixing them together, it can be there. But I don't think that's why this story is being told particularly with goats and sheep. It's just two animals that people in that day were very familiar with, and it was easy to draw that analogy. The idea is that, and that's where we miss sometimes when we read this particular scripture. In the great revivals that took place in the 1800s, what got drawn out of this was, you know, hell and damnation, you know, that if you're not doing the right thing, you're going to hell and we're going to pound the pulpit. And that was the message that got delivered in those days, and often using this particular scripture because it's talking about that. But if we look at it from a little bit different perspective, possibly, we notice that there's sheep and goats standing in front of Christ in this analogy. And they are just who they are. And just like that business with the kids and the photographs, it's sometimes difficult to tell the difference between the two. Especially somebody like me, and I don't know anything about goats and sheep. I think all sheep look, you know, woolly and fat, and that's it. But not all sheep look just like that. And all goats have, you know, the little goatee, and you know, their tails are sticking up, and they tend to run around and climb in trees and fall down dead or whatever they do when they're trying to protect themselves. We've all seen those videos of the scared goats falling over. But the idea here is that maybe it isn't so easy to tell the difference when they're just all mixed in together. There's just a bunch of four-legged furry animals walking around. And that Jesus somehow knows who they are and divides them apart. The lesson we can get from that is if we were walking down the street and looking at people as they walk past, who would be a criminal and who wouldn't be? Who's the bad guy and who's the good guy in this story? If we're walking down the street and there's a crowd of people walking in front of us through and walking past us, would it be easy to say, oh, that person's a murderer, that person is not a murderer, that person is a thief, that person is deadly honest always? They're just people. It's difficult to tell the difference. So Christ's point of this particular analogy is to say that there is a difference, and that sheep are just sheep and goats are just goats. What makes the difference between the two? As the story continues, it's what they do. It's what they do. And what gets misinterpreted often, particularly about this story, is we miss the point in thinking that it's what we do that gets us into heaven. It's what we don't do that sends us to hell and damnation. And therefore, we better do good things. We better be good people. The real point of this is sheep are sheep, goats are goats. It's who they are. And because of who they are, the outcome is such and such. And that's clearly pointed out when Jesus says to all the sheep, you came and visited me when I was sick. You came and got clothing for me. You took care of me and did all these things. And they say, well, when did we do that? I don't remember doing that for you. The point is, it's something they do because of who they are. It's subtle, and I'm trying to make a point here. And it's a subtle point. It's missed often in our Christian history and church history. We get it backwards. We think that to be a Christian means you have to do good things. And that's partially right. But it's really the other way around. We do good things because we are Christ followers. It's an outcome of who we are. And we put the emphasis often on the other side of things. The point here, the goats are doing negative things because they're goats. We miss the point often. The outcome of what we do is who we are. And I've drawn this analogy, I know, in the past, and I always point at Renata, because it's easy to point to Renata, because Renata plays keyboard. And Renata, I know, when you're playing keyboard, just playing, and not necessarily a brand new piece, your fingers know where to go. And even when you're nervous, your fingers know where to go. It's an outcome of who you are. You're a musician, you've been trained, and you've practiced. And that outcome is an automatic response to who you are. The other person I point to is Mr. Decker, who I don't know if he's, where is he? Well, I did see him this morning. Where are you, Ron? There he is. And I always point to Ron because, you know, you do some physical exercising and whatnot, and there's certain things that after a long time of training, it's an automatic response. You don't even think about it anymore. It's who you are. We have to be the same as Christian people. We need to practice doing those good things, but we're practicing them because of who we are. And we continue to do those things because it's Christ that's motivating us to do those things. Because we can look at that list and say, well, clothing the needy, visiting the sick and people in prison, feeding the hungry. There's lots of non-Christian organizations or non-Christ-centered organizations and people that do those things. And because, like I say, in the past when we got it backwards, we go, well, that's a good person. I guess they're going to heaven. They do good things. But they're not doing it because Christ is in their life. It's not an outcome of Christ-centered activity. So it's easy to get mixed up. And that's the point. When you walk down the street on a busy street, who's Christian and who isn't? Hard to tell, isn't it? Somebody that opens the door for you to help you through the door, if you're maybe having problems walking, just because they opened the door, does that make them a Christian? No, not necessarily. It doesn't make them a Christian, but opening that door is a response to Christ in my life. Jesus has done something absolutely remarkable for us, which is clearly identified even in our Ephesians reading today. He conquered death and gave us new life. He forgave us through the grace of God, made us new people. And as a result, we're thankful for that. How do we express our thanks? The sheep and the goats give us that wonderful example of that. How we treat one another. You know, it's not easy always to be treating other people as Christ asked us to, but we work at that because Christ is in our life. It's not a matter, and I also want to say historically, Jesus is telling this story to a group of people who either were Sadducees. Remember the Sadducees? Why were they so Sadducee? Because they didn't believe in an afterlife. So the idea of a judgment day of heaven and hell meant nothing to them. He's also preaching to the other groups of Jewish believers at the time who don't believe in hell at all, just a place of the dead, that God will one day come. So this idea of heaven and hell is a concept that they're kind of scratching their head over. And so, again, looking at the context of this, Jesus is saying, If you are followers of God, this is the way you will behave. It's nothing to do with heaven and hell. That part of the story would be less important to them beyond what he's saying in this particular instance. When you act meanly, you're a goat. It's got nothing to do with anything other than who you are at that point. We need to be renewed in Christ and become the sheep. And that's shown in our lives by the way we behave, by the way we treat others, by the way we let God work. Last night I was visiting with a family from Carluke Church, St. Paul's in Carluke. There's a longtime member of their congregation who's in his 90s, has been involved with the church his entire life, and he passed away. So I sat in a farmhouse last night with a farming family, and they were telling me about sort of the farms in the area. It's a really different experience from being from the city to be sitting in a farming community and hear them tell stories about people in their church, the way they behaved with one another. He told me one time many years ago their dad, who's now passed away, fell off a combine and broke his leg. So he couldn't finish his planting. All the other farmers in the area, without even being asked, showed up and planted his crops for him. They're all Christian brothers and sisters. They all went to the same church. They didn't have to be asked. And as they recounted stories to me, every single one of them had something happen sometime over the years where they couldn't finish something. Building a barn, planting crops, harvesting crops, taking care of their dairy cattle. And without even asking, the others were there that morning, driving tractors up the laneway. How can we help? How can we help? That's the sheep. It's acts of kindness like that that identify who the sheep are. They're not doing it to be kind. They're not doing it to get into heaven. They're doing it because Jesus is in their life. And what a remarkable story as I heard about their faith and their love and the way that they respond. We do similar things here in this church. Food for Life is a response of our love for God. Well, lots of other people could be doing that, but we do it because we're Christian people and Christ has given us much. We want to give back. It's a wonderful thing that we can do. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We are doing that all the time. Amen. God holds the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains, the sea and the dry land. Let us now offer our tithes and offerings to God in response, same way as the sheep taking care of God's people. Let us present our offerings now.